pleasure to welcome you to the Truth and Love program today. Our subject concerns the deity of Christ, whether or not Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and was therefore the divine Son of God. My guest speaker, Perry Cotham, will be with us in just a moment to discuss this matter, and then he and I together will have a discussion that will focus in upon some of these important truths concerning Christ, His personhood, His sonship, and the relevance of these matters to one's acceptance of the Christian religion. Please listen to Perry as he speaks, and then we'll be back together to discuss this matter.
The sweetest story ever told is the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Matthew and Luke tells us concerning the birth of Christ. In chapter 1 of the book of Matthew, verse 21, we read that the angel said to Joseph concerning the birth of Jesus, of Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The birth of Jesus, of Mary, in Bethlehem was not the beginning of the life of Jesus. It was merely the beginning of his earthly existence. Jesus Christ is eternal. When John began his account of the life of Christ, he began by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And then in verse 14 he said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The days of His flesh was the time of His existence or life here upon this earth. Definitely, the Bible teaches the virgin birth of Christ. Isaiah the prophet spoke of a virgin conceiving and bringing forth a son, "And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." And Matthew records this prophecy in the very first chapter of the book of Matthew by saying, "This happened that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet of the Lord. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Jesus Christ fulfilled this prophecy. Micah prophesied, as we read in Micah 5 and verse 2, that the Lord would be born in Bethlehem, but his going forth is from of old, yea, from eternity. So the Bible emphasizes the eternal nature of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There are those who would discount the virgin birth of our Lord. But friends, we must accept what the Bible teaches concerning the life and the teaching, the birth, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. When our Lord was here upon this earth, He said, "I came from the Father." He also said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And in His prayer, as we read in John 17, near the close of His earthly ministry, He talked about returning to the Father and having the glory that He had with Him before the world was. So Christians believe in the virgin birth of Christ and the eternal nature of Jesus Christ, that all things were created by Him, as Paul emphasizes in Colossians chapter 1. During the personal ministry of Jesus, nothing is said about His physical characteristics or His appearance, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do tell us some things about His life, His work, His teaching. They emphasize His mission and His teaching, and this is what needs to be emphasized today. We recognize the fact that Jesus Christ was a great teacher. Although He never attended any great universities, in fact, He was never out of a little province of Palestine, as far as we know. And yet He gave to the world some of the greatest teaching that has ever been given. He was not just a mere man. He was divine, the Son of God. Then, too, His life was pure. One time He said, "Which one of you convicteth me of sin?" There were those who were sent to arrest Jesus upon one occasion. And they returned and they said, "Never man spake like this man." So His life was pure. His teaching was great, and the people marveled. But we might ask, why did Jesus Christ come to this earth to live among men some 33 and a third years, to die on the cross, and then to return to the Father in heaven? How does this fit into God's plan of salvation for man? I want to suggest three reasons clearly emphasized in the Bible why Jesus Christ came to this earth, being born of the Virgin Mary. The first place, the coming of Jesus into the world shows God's great love for mankind. Perhaps one of the most familiar statements in all the Scriptures is John 3 and verse 16, which speaks of God's supreme gift to man. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The little word so is an adverb that describes the manner. God so loved to this great extent in this way man that He gave His only begotten Son. Then too, we turn to 1 John chapter 4. And John talks about God is love. And in this was the love of God manifested, in that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to be man's Savior and Redeemer. And then He said, we love Him because He first loved us. The gift of God's Son for man's salvation is saying, God loves you. And the Lord is concerned about your welfare. And He wants you to live with Him forever in heaven. You know, some people have a misconception of the nature of God. Some people think of Him as a tyrant. Some might say, oh, the Lord's not interested in me, whether I go to heaven or I go to the other place when this life is over. But that isn't true, friends. God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, and the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. During the personal ministry of Jesus, our Lord gave three parables, as recorded in Luke chapter 15, concerning the lost, which show God's concern for those who are lost. Although the parables are three, they have one thought: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. They all emphasize the Father's concern for people who are lost. God is represented in the shepherd looking for the lost sheep, or the woman looking for the lost piece of money, or the father who's concerned about his son who's gone away from home. God does not want anyone to be lost. And He so loved the world to that great extent that He gave His only begotten Son. Another lesson that we can learn from the coming of Christ into this world, living among men and dying on the cross for us, is that Jesus Christ loves us. He is concerned for our salvation. He was willing to come to this earth and to die for man. We sometimes sing the song, why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because He loved me so. Why did He drink the bitter cup? Why? The answer is, because He loved me so. That was one who was willing to die in my stead. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isaiah also prophesied concerning the Lord. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The Lord laid upon Him our iniquities, our sins. He died in my place that I might not die. The Bible teaches all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one could be a Savior for anyone else because everyone needs the Savior. So it took the innocent dying for the guilty. And on the cross our Lord shed His blood. He gave His life to redeem us from sin. The Apostle Peter, in writing to Christians in chapter 1 of the first letter, said, you were redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. All the silver and all the gold and all the jewels of the world could not be the price to pay to redeem one soul from sin. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the book of Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul mentions the fact that God might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus Christ. How can God be just? One individual who sins finally enters into heaven and lives with the redeemed forever. Another one, as a human being, sins and is finally lost in torment. How can God be just? And here is the answer. One accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, the atonement that was made for him on the cross of Calvary, and by an obedient faith does the Lord's will. The other one rejects the teaching of Jesus, rejects the Savior who died for him, lives and dies in sin, and is eternally lost. That's how God can be just, and at the same time justify one, and let the other one be condemned forever in torment. And so, another reason that Jesus came was that he might die for man and pay the price for man's salvation. There is no way that we have to describe God's great love for man or the death of Jesus on the cross for us, manifesting his love. Just before Jesus went to the cross, as we know, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless," he said, "not my will, but thine be done." Certainly he did not want to go to the agony of the cross. If that was any other way that man might be saved without his dying on the cross. But there was no other way. And so then he willingly went to the cross and died for you and for me. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "He died for me. He gave himself for me." And so we could read John 3:16 like this, "God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that I might not perish, but that I might have eternal life." Certainly, that is the teaching of the Bible, the Word of God. Yes, we must accept it. We cannot fully grasp the meaning of it. Someone has said, "Were the ocean filled with ink, and the sky parchment made, and every blade of grass a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, and the scroll would not contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky." In the third place, I would suggest that the Bible teaches that Jesus coming to this earth, living among men, and dying on the cross, being buried and raised again, he conquered death, and he gave unto man the assurance of a life beyond the grave. The resurrection of Christ is emphasized in the New Testament. The apostles emphasized it in their preaching. And based upon that, we have the assurance of the resurrection of our bodies when this earthly life is over. Job asked in the long ago, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And Jesus answered, "Yes. I am the resurrection and the life. Though a man die, yet shall he live again." Christians should not fear death. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, the writer talks about Jesus taking flesh, living among men as a human being, and that he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, Satan, and give unto individuals who have that fear of death that assurance of the resurrection. That's the thought of what the writer is trying to say. People do fear death. But Christians do not fear death in the sense that people who have no hope fear death. We realize with the Apostle Paul, as expressed in Philippians 1, to depart this life is to be with Christ on the other side, which is far better, and to die is gain, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, not even death. And so we can say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul talks about the resurrection of the body. It is raised an immortal body, an incorruptible body, an imperishable body. And then as if the individual would look back after this is over, he'd say, "Now, death, where is your sting? Now, grave, where is your victory?" We're going to come through that one day. And then he said, thanks be unto God who gives to us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, the coming of Jesus into the world by a miracle. The virgin birth was a miracle. The angel said to Joseph, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. His life proved that he was divine, the Son of God. I know he was called the Son of Man. He was human from one standpoint, but he was divine. He taught great lessons, such as the world never heard. He died on the cross for us, for you and for me. He took our sins and our iniquities and died in our stead, that we might not have to perish because of our sins. Then he was raised again from the dead, and now he lives on high. He entered into the world by a miracle of the virgin birth. He came forth from the grave by the miracle of the resurrection. He ascended back to the Father, leaving this world by the miracle of his ascension. And now he lives on high at the Father's right hand as King of kings and Lord of lords. Truly we can sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. But remember, the angel said to Joseph, you call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He is our Savior, man's only Savior. In Acts 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Peter said, salvation's in his name, and in no other name is there salvation. He's the only Savior. We thank God for his wonderful love for us, for the gift of his Son, Jesus, and for salvation we have in Christ. By an obedient faith in the Lord, the sincere faith, repentance, confessing our faith in the Lord and being buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, we may be cleansed by the blood of Christ to arise, to walk as a new creature in Christ Jesus, forgiven of our sins, and have the hope of heaven. If faithful to the end of life's journey, heaven will be our home with the Lord and with the redeemed of all ages. No wonder this is a beautiful, sweet story. It is the very heart of the plan of salvation, God's scheme of salvation for man. May the Lord help us to love our Lord and to obey him while we live here on this earth.
Perry, I think a very, very important question concerning the virgin birth is, there are a lot of people who do not believe in the virgin birth. They believe Jesus was a man. What does it matter? Why is it really important for a person to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin?
It's very important because this is a part of the gospel narrative. And if we reject that, we might as well reject the miracles or the resurrection. It all stands or falls together, it looks to me like. So one cannot really believe in Christ being divine, the Son of God, without accepting what the Bible teaches concerning the virgin birth of Christ.
Okay, beyond the fact that it's one of several miracles, is it that important to believe that Jesus was the Son of God as opposed to just a good man or an insightful man?
Yes, it is important because if Jesus was just a man, a mere man, then that places Christianity as a man-made or man system of religion. And the New Testament would be just a man-made book. So the divinity of Christ establishes the divinity of the New Testament and also of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ being divine.
And I suppose if he's a mere man, his death on the cross would mean very little, would it not? Because a lot of people die for great causes.
That's right. It would not have any effect so far as our soul's salvation is concerned. We would then be without a Savior or a Redeemer.
Because the death on the cross, the shedding of Christ's blood as opposed to another individual, provided for our atonement?
That's right. Christ shed his blood for our atonement. But if he be just a mere man, and then he needed a Savior as well as we do.
So it's not enough to simply claim to be Christian. One has to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and therefore that when he came into this world, he may have had a human mother, but he had God as his Father. And if you don't believe that, you've robbed Christianity of its very central core. Is that true?
That is true. And this is what is preached throughout the book of Acts by the inspired apostles. They emphasize the divinity of Christ, that he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah,
and that he was raised from the dead. And in Romans 1, 3 and 4, Paul speaks of that, and that he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead.
Okay, you know, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. So faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, is central to being acceptable to God and being one who truly embraces the Christian religion?
That is true. And so the great question is, was Jesus a mere man, or was he divine, the Son of God? And real New Testament Christianity emphasizes the fact that he was divine, the Son of God.
Can you recap for us in about 15 seconds, then, if Jesus was born of a virgin, what do I need to do in addition to believing that he is born of a virgin, the Son of God? What do I need to do to become a Christian?
Well, I must accept the Lord as the Savior by an obedient faith. That is, I hear the gospel and believe in Christ, sincerely repent of sins, confess my faith in the Lord, and baptize, that is, buried with Christ in baptism and raised up to walk in newness of life. Certainly, Jesus died for all, and salvation has been provided for all. But we know our Lord talked about some being placed on the left-hand side at the judgment and being told to depart. And so man has his part in his salvation. God provides through Jesus Christ, our Savior, but man must accept on the terms of the gospel. And if he doesn't, man will be lost in spite of the fact that Jesus came and died for him on the cross.